Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to read just a few verses of the scriptures, words of warning, words of invitation from the Apostle Paul. He says this, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Oh, friends, where in heaven or in earth will you find power to change the human heart like the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ? There, friends, and there alone is a glorious message to transform the worst sinner in Oxford, the most darkened heart, the most unbelieving and foolish of us can be changed and transformed by the Lord Jesus Christ. In him is that glorious message of hope and strength and change. But our friends, left to ourselves, we're puppets. Puppets of the flesh, puppets of the devil, puppets of this evil, sensual generation. In the Lord Jesus Christ, and there alone, is power to change us and to wash us. So the apostle says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And therein is revealed the righteousness of God from faith to faith. For the anger of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness of men. Friends, I wonder this morning how you consider the living God. How do you consider him? How do you think he looks at you and your life? Here's what the apostle says. He's angry with us. He's indignant. He's insulted by the way that we live, by the way that we think, by the way that we move. In him we live and move and have our being. But our friends, our lives are a sore disappointment to him. We fall so far short of his reasonable standards, of his great commandments. And our friends, when he surveys our ways, thinks of our thoughts, looks at our constitution, he finds us sadly wanting. Do you remember the great king Belshazzar, grandson of Nebuchadnezzar? You can read of him in the Ashmolean. But our friends, Belshazzar was a party boy. He lived for wine, women and song. But in the day of his death, what did Daniel say to him? The God in whose hands your very ways are, you haven't glorified. You haven't known him. The one who holds your breath in his hands, you haven't remembered him. You haven't glorified him. What a tragedy, friends, not to know the way of peace, not to know the way of grace, not to know his wonderful power and his ability to change and to wash the human heart. But in the cross, in the Saviour, there is grace to wash us, to change us. If we say that we have no sin, we're kidding ourselves. We deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. We make God a liar. Is that what you've done, friends? You belied God in order to justify yourself. What a sad thing to do. What a foolish and an empty way of living. Not to know the gift of God in his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. By him and through him is a wonderful fountain of life to wash us, to change us. Our forebears, many of the Puritans in this very city, some of the founders of the colleges here, knew and tasted these realities. Why, friends, are we so foolish? Why have we so neglected God and his ways? The apostle says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. The apostle said, we cannot but speak of the things that we have seen and heard. When we see homosexuals wonderfully changed by the grace of Christ into those who are chaste and pure and strong. When we see those who have given over to revelry, whose lives have been wrecked by sin, wonderfully changed and washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why can't we prick up our ears and take notice? Oh, friends, there is no sin so great he can't take it away. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. God isn't mocked. He sees us. He knows us. He weighs us. He sees the uncleanness of our hearts. He knows the state of our condition. He knows, friends, how ugly and foolish we are by nature, how far short we fall of his reasonable standards. Let me ask you simply this morning, which one of his commandments do you think you've kept? Which one of his glorious standards do you think you've lived up to? Friends, we're sinful and weak to a man, to a woman. Every one of us has fallen far short of his reasonable requirements. We need the gift of repentance. We need life. We need mercy. We need a new birth and a new heart. But our friends, by nature, we prefer darkness. We prefer our own excuses. We prefer to live as puppets of the flesh. We prefer filth rather than purity. We prefer uncleanness rather than things that please God. We prefer, friends, to serve the flesh and our own senses rather than spiritual mindedness. What a tragedy, friends, to see Oxford sinking down into the abyss of its own decadence, bound yet more and more, decade after decade, by sin. What rules the agenda in Oxford this afternoon, this morning? Sin. Disobedience to God's law. A violation of his holiness. Standing against his purity and his name. And oh, friends, where's the benefit in sin? Where's the outcome of a godless life? Where's the fruit of sowing to the flesh? It reaps corruption, leads to death, leads to stagnation in our hearts, in our homes, in our families, in our workplaces. Wake up to wisdom, friends. Get hold of grace. Get hold of his gift of repentance and mercy while there's still opportunity. Don't throw away your eternal soul.
Just come from retreat.
I'm very pleased to hear it. May I leave you something to meditate on? I think you might find it encouraging. God bless. Oh, friends, how much we need that gift of life and mercy found only through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder, friends, do you think the Bible is a book of myths and fables? You know, if you're an archaeologist in Jerusalem, you wouldn't be saying that this morning. Archaeologists in Jerusalem again and again have turned to the scriptures as their text, as their guide. Haven't you heard about Nathan Melech? The latest bulla discovered from Jerusalem corroborating 2 Kings? Oh, friends, every month there's a fresh discovery corroborating the Old Testament narrative. And yet, how foolishly we neglect God's warnings. How foolishly, friends, we draw blood onto our own heads. We need repentance. We need mercy. We need grace and life. Where's the benefit, friends, in living for the flesh, in living for the senses, neglecting the warning and the call of the living God? Seek him and turn to him while he may still be found. And again, here is what the apostle says. The anger of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. We need his gift. We need that gift of his Son. He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life, and the anger of God abides upon him. Friends, if we live as we are now, as we carry on as we are now, we're already destined for hell, already destined for banishment, already destined for outer darkness. God's judgment is just. We say the wheels of justice grind slowly, but they grind exceedingly fine. Don't you see, friends, our sins will find us out? The things we've forgotten about, the things we covered under the carpet, the things we pretended never happened, God knows them, he weighs them, he brings them to the surface before long. We need his gift of repentance. We need his gift of life. We need his gift of mercy and grace. Seek him, friends. Turn to him. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous one his thoughts. Look at the ugly things, friends, taught in the school playgrounds. Look at what's become of Ofsted. It's no longer an organisation devoted to the care of children. It's devoted to the perversion of children. Devoted to, friends, to propagating LGBT propaganda. Oh, friends, wake up to wisdom. Wake up to the fear of God and the call of God. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous one his thoughts. Let him return unto our God, for he will abundantly pardon. In Christ there is life from the dead for those who seek him. We've seen it times without number. Those deeply steeped in anorexia, those deeply steeped in depression, in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is a power to change the heart no psychologist or psychiatrist can touch. He knows how to bind up the brokenhearted. He knows how to bring light into the darkness of our spirits. He knows the frame of our condition. He knows us, friends. In Christ is the hope of the nations. And what foolishness to have rejected him. What foolishness, friends, to have rejected his words. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the promised Hebrew Messiah, the Alpha and the Omega. He's corroborated, he's validated by a score of testimonies. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Ask him for grace and ask him for life. Please have a look at it. I think you'll find it helpful and interesting.
I want to ask you one question.
Far away, quickly.
A friend of mine is doing some research. It's possible, she's a black lady and she goes back to Nigerian descent and things.
Yeah.
It's possible that Jesus was black, and they distorted the pictures and, you know, the thing.
I've no doubt the pictures of him as an Italian gentleman are completely mistaken.
Yeah.
He's Jewish.
He's Jewish,
he'd have been dark-skinned.
He'd be dark-skinned, but there was only one Ramesses was a dark pharaoh, wasn't he? Yeah. Yeah. But it's not a major point, but, yeah. You know. Yeah. But black people are really religious. There's more black Christians in this country
than Africa
in places,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And the circle's gone round.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to know what you thought about that, yeah. It's like
he's Jewish.
Yeah.
I'm not going to stop.
No,
it's nice to meet you.
Yeah, okay.
God bless.
Yeah.
Please have a look at it. I think you'll find it interesting.
Yeah.
God bless. Friends, like to read just a few verses from the Psalms. Words of warning, words of consideration for us. Here are the words of the psalmist, King David. He says this: "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." Oh, friends, can we conceive of a greater imbecility than this? Than to say there is no mind, no design, no craftsmanship? Don't you know, friends, our best engineers borrow their ideas from nature? Haven't you ever heard of biomimicry? There are journals devoted to the glorious subject of borrowing nature's wisdom. I have a friend who's a professor of design engineering in Bristol University. He says this: he wouldn't trust Richard Dawkins to design a doorknob. The friends, the man has a mad streak in him. He doesn't understand the basic principles of design. He wouldn't trust him as an undergraduate student. Why? Because I'm afraid he falls so far short of basic design engineering principles. There is a designer, there is an architect, there is a craftsman behind the universe. Only the blind won't see it. And oh, friends, here's the very edifice on which we built our biology. That we're materialists, that there is no master, that there is no craftsman, that there is no mind. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. How careless, how neglectful. To neglect God, to say there is no creator, to say there is no designer, to say that there is no architect behind the details of the cell. Oh, friends, don't you know DNA has 6 reading frames? One point mutation might improve one of them, it'll wreck the other 5. Oh, friends, we have no consideration for these problems. Don't you know we accumulate mutations every generation, 50 to 200, and yet we say we've evolved? The reality is we're going the opposite direction. We're accumulating damage with time. Friends, evolution is a fraud. It's a basic fraud, full of flaws, full of mistakes. There is a God who watches us, who surveys us, who considers us, who weighs us, who calls us back to repentance and to life. Dear friends, seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. And what is the fruit of that atheism? Here is how he describes it, King David. He says this: corrupt they are, and they have done abominable things. Atheism breeds corruption. Unbelief in God breeds damage, breeds harm to our society. There's no more harmful ideology, friends, than the notion that there is no God, there is no mind, there is no designer, no sustainer. The reality, friends, is there is a God who watches, who notes. Oh, friends, you only need to look down a microscope or through a telescope to see his glorious handiwork. How foolish, how neglectful, not to know his grace, not to know his power, not to know his wonderful works. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Go to him for grace, go to him for mercy, go to him for life. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is his Son with power to bless us, to cleanse us, to raise us up from the dead, selfish and sinful life. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is glorious power to bless us and to change us. Dear friends, seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Don't throw away your eternal spirit. Don't throw away your life. Seek his mercy and his grace while he may still be found. For his sake, I'm not going to stop.
Yeah,
I'm not
going to
stop. I'm not going to stop. God bless.
Sorry about
that. Bye-bye for now. Yeah. Oh, friends. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Oh, friends, there is a God with whom we have to do. We are one heartbeat away from his presence, one breath away from his judgment. We need mercy. We need repentance. We need grace. What have you done with his warnings? What have you done with the scriptures? What have you done, friends, with the manifesto he's laid out before us? Seek him and turn to him while he may still be found. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the great fountain of life. to wash us, to change us, to bless us, to raise up our dead spirits and give us that kiss of life. But our friends, if you prefer to walk in darkness, you know, the Saviour once said, here is condemnation, but light is come into the world and men preferred darkness. They preferred excuses. They preferred to cover over the truth. They preferred to escape the reality of God's warning, of God's truth. Oh, friends, which one of his commandments have you kept? How we fall short of his holiness. How we fall short of his reasonable requirements. And the thing is, we run into the undergrowth of our own excuses. We pretend there is no God. We pretend there is no resurrection. We pretend there is no judgment. But our friends, the ugly reality will come on us very quickly. Sooner or later, the truth will dawn on us. Hear what the Daniel says. Those who now sleep in the dust shall awake, some to everlasting shame and contempt, others to everlasting life. Where will you be after death? Where will you be, friends, when you're called to his seat? How will you give an account for the things you've said and done? If you don't know his mercy, if you don't know his Son, don't know his wonderful provision. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the bread of life. But our friends, you're feeding your souls on junk food, ruining your children and your grandchildren, making them more sons of hell than you are yourselves. We need repentance. We need mercy. We need grace. Friends, we're headed on the broad way to destruction, to hell, to banishment, to outer darkness. Wake up to wisdom before it's too late. Wake up to his call and his kindness while he may still be found. I won't stop, and I won't stop. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is grace and kindness. I'm not going to stop. I'm sorry. This is a vital message. I will not stop.
Okay.
In the Lord Jesus Christ, there and there alone is life and grace. Seek him before it's too late. Don't be foolish with your life. Don't be foolish with your soul. Seek him and turn to him. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous one his thoughts. Let him return unto our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Oh, friends, what have you done with your spirits? What have you done with your conscience? What have you done with God's warnings and his grace? Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Here's what the scripture says. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. How foolish. How ignorant. How willful ignorant. Pulling down the shutters and shutting out the evidence. Do you know, friends, in the day of judgment, you think we'll have an excuse for saying, I neglected your law. I neglected your invitation. I neglected your grace. I neglected forgiveness. I neglected holiness. We won't have a leg to stand on, friends. We won't have the least of excuses. We need that gift of life and mercy. Seek him. Turn to him while he's still near at hand. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In the wounds, in the death, in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a fountain of life to wash us, to bless us, and to change us. Yes, down this way on the left.
Thanks a million.
Seek him, friends, while he may still be found. Read the warnings. Read the invitation. Read that analysis of human nature. Far subtler, far deeper, far stronger than any psychiatrist's diagnosis. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is life from the dead. Why neglect life? Why feed your soul on junk, on emptiness? Why, friends, what has your life become if you neglect the fear of God? If you neglect holiness, if you neglect worship, if you neglect prayer, we are but stubble, like chaff. The godless, friends, will be blown away in those winds of judgment, like stubble, like chaff. What is the weight? What is the strength? What is the backbone of your life if you don't know his grace and his kindness? Seek him while he may still be found. Go to him for mercy and for grace while he is still near at hand. Now is the day to seek him. Now is the day to read his warnings. Now is the day, friends, to seek out that manifesto. Where's the foolishness in neglecting him, in putting it off, in neglecting the data, in neglecting the evidence? In Christ, there is life and mercy and grace to seek and to bless us. I'd like to read to you two words of the Apostle Paul in Romans, where he describes for us the portrait of human nature. And I'm afraid it's not pretty. But this is what we need to see. We need to see our own hearts in the searchlight of God's holiness, in the searchlight of God's requirements. Here is what he says. There is no one righteous, no, not one. There is no one good, no, not one. All friends weighed in his balance, searched by his scan, how ugly, how corrupt, how depraved even the lives of the young are. How foolish, how shipwrecked we are before we even start on the journey of life. How much we need repentance, how much we need wisdom, how much we need perception of our own hearts and of the holiness and the character of God. Here is what he says, as it is written, there is no one righteous, no, not one. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is no one that does good, no, not one. Oh, friends, our hearts are evil. We may not think it, we may not see it, but the reality is we are far away from God's holiness. When it comes, friends, to the call of righteousness, the call of justice, the call of mercy, the call of tenderness and of love, how reluctant we are to approach him. We run away, we neglect, we ignore, we stymie, we make all sorts of excuses, but in Christ there are welcome arms for the prodigal son, the prodigal daughter. In the Lord Jesus Christ there is power to deal with sin. There is no other route, there is no other power, friends, to touch that cause of depravity within each one of us. In the Lord Jesus Christ there is light and grace and blessing to raise our dead spirits to life. In Christ is the bread of life. He who comes to him shall never hunger. He who believes in him shall never thirst. But oh, friends, you're perishing on the side of the oasis. You're living a life that'll lead to barrenness and to desert. Oh, friends, what remorse awaits those who live for themselves, who live according to their own agenda, who follow on their own path. Don't you hear the warning of the Saviour? The way to destruction is broad, and many there are who go in it. The way to life is narrow, and few there are who find it. Oh, friends, be a puppet of the senses, of the here and now, and you'll wreck your own spirit. You'll ruin your own heart. But seek his grace, seek his mercy, and in him is life and grace to change us, to wash us. Not only my testimony, friends, I was once an atheist like many of you are, or claim to be now, but the reality is there is a God who watches, who notes, who calls, who invites, and who wonderfully transforms those who humbly seek him. Go to him for grace. Go to him for mercy. Go to him for power. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is life from the dead, not in Muhammad. Muhammad is dead and buried and gone, under judgment. But in Christ, there is the living spirit from heaven. In Christ, there and there alone is the one who pleased God in every respect. Where else, friends, do you read it said of a prophet, this is my well-beloved son in whom I am well pleased, only the Lord Jesus Christ, only he who raised from the dead, the Lord of death and the Lord of life, the Alpha and the Omega. What have you done with him, friends? What have you done with his grace? What have you done with his patience? What have you done with his long-suffering? Seek him and turn to him while he may still be found. Oh, friends, what have you done with your spirit? What have you done with your life? What have you done with your conscience? Where will you be when you die if you carry on as you are now? How will you face God face to face with a record of your life? How will you give an account of the things you've said and done? Oh, in Christ there is grace, there is power to cleanse us, to wash us, to change us. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. We deceive ourselves. We make God a liar. But if we confess our sins, not to a Catholic priest, I'm not going to stop.
What do you think of the Jews?
The Jews need mercy. They need grace. They need repentance.
I'm Jewish.
But they have a treasure. They have a wonderful treasure in the Tanakh, in the Old Testament.
I've read a bit of it.
Have you read its prophecies? Have you read Isaiah 53? Have you read Psalm 22? Have you read Zechariah 9?
Zechariah 11? I'm not somebody who memorizes this whole tract.
You don't need to memorize it. Read the scriptures.
I'm actually messianic.
Are you?
Yes, like Robert Zimmerman, Bob Dylan.
Dylan's not really messianic.
How
not in his
know?
Character. Because his songs. It's depraved.
What's depraved about his songs?
He endorses immorality.
Does he?
Yes.
Don't know about that.
May I give you something to read? I'm not going to stop. Please have a look at it.
Okay, I'm messianic.
Yes. If you were messianic, you would love the Messiah, you would love his ways, you would love his holiness.
Well, yes, I do.
Okay, well then you would cherish the preaching of his word, and you wouldn't interrupt me.
I find, you were talking, now I'm talking.
I have to preach. That's why I've come
and
here.
And so do I.
I've travelled along. So do preach where you want to, but I'm going to preach here.
Freedom of choice.
Yes.
Okay. Now, do you know why
I'm
people
not
don't
stop.
Like Jews? Because we're very clever.
There certainly is a degree of cleverness.
55% of the Nobel
Prizes.
Yes,
I'm well aware
we all
of it.
Know this.
I'm well aware of it. Listen,
okay.
My friends.
Have a good day.
What's your name, if I may ask?
Michael.
I'm Charles.
Now, in my experience, no Muslim Michael. Has ever expressed anti-Semitism in my presence. But people who profess to be Christian have.
Yeah, well, it's true. There is a very deep and sad root of anti-Semitism amongst Christians. I will acknowledge
yes,
that freely.
Yes, I appreciate it. Especially it's very complex, isn't it?
Especially
and yet
Martin
they venerated
Luther.
You, Jesus Christ.
Indeed, yes.
Okay.
But, you know, that's predicted by the Scriptures.
Well, everything's predicted by the Scriptures.
Not everything, but many things are. If you read in the New Testament, and I know you're
now,
not familiar
with... what do you think of Brexit?
I'm not going to get distracted down that... No, I don't agree with that, but I'm not going to get...
I do.
Okay.
It was all incremental, was immigration.
Michael, I'm not going to stop. Read Romans 11, please.
You go ahead.
Route.
It also says in the Bible, love the foreigner.
Indeed it does, yes.
Good.
Bye-bye for now.
Yeah.
Oh, friends, how much we need that gift of repentance and mercy and grace found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. What have we done with his grace? What have you done with his warning? What have you done with his wonderful name? In the Saviour, there is a gift of life from the dead. There is light for our darkness. There, friends, is a skewering of our excuses. In Christ is the righteousness to change us, to wash us, and to renew us. What have we done with him? What have we done with his warnings? What have we done with his blood? Why do you think the Saviour suffered and died on the cross? Here is how Paul summarizes it. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What an extraordinary substitution. Christ is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But our friends, what have you done with that sin? Here's a fountain to wash us, to change us. Here, friends, is a washing machine for the soul, the gift of salvation. Why do you prefer filth? Why do you prefer darkness? Why do you prefer excuses? Why do you prefer neglect? Why do you prefer recklessness? Why do you prefer willful ignorance? Read the warnings of God's word. Reading his invitation. Reading his grace and his kindness. Oh, friends, we may pretend God is a liar, but sooner or later the truth will out. Sooner or later our sins will catch up with us. We need his grace and his kindness. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. If we say that we have no sin, we make God a liar, and his word is not in us. If we confess our sins, not to a sinful priest, but to the high priest, the Saviour, the Messiah, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. A real Christian's life is changed, washed, never the same again. As Paul says, if any man be in Christ, really in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. A Christian who says he's a Christian but carries on in sex outside of marriage, carries on in homosexuality, carries on in extortion, carries on in drunkenness and partyings, is an utter hypocrite. He's destined for hell. Worse, friends, than an unbeliever in many respects. He sinned against the light. And this is the warning of the Scripture. We need repentance. And that repentance is real and deep and strong. What have you done with his warning? What have you done with his call? What have you done with his patience and his grace and his kindness? Seek him while there's still an opportunity. Don't be foolish. Don't be neglectful. Turn to him while he's still near at hand. Here's what the prophet Ezekiel says. Turn back. Turn back. You know the course you're heading on is dangerous. You know the way you're going, friends, will lead to judgment. You know that the way you're going is a guilty and a shameful one. Turn back. Turn back. Why will you die? I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that they turn from their evil ways and live. What is life, friends, but to walk with God, to know him, to love him, to enjoy him, to rejoice in him? What is good life if lived for self? It's an empty zombie life. Don't you hear the warnings of the New Testament? The New Testament says the man or the woman who lives for pleasure is dead while they still live. Is that the kind of life you're leading? An animal life? A zombie life? Dead while you still live? Unaware of his reality? Unaware of the spiritual banquet laid out for us in the Saviour? Unaware of the gift of mercy? Unaware of the gift of wisdom? Unaware of the gift of grace and life? Oh, friends, don't be so foolish. Don't be so neglectful. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. In the Lord Jesus Christ is a glorious fountain of life. There is the very word of God made flesh. Oh, friends, don't listen to the deceivers, the Jehovah's Witnesses, who mislead you, who corrupt you, who draw you aside. Go back to the Saviour. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Christ, there is the Father's image. There is the Father's eternal Son. In Christ, there is God's power and wisdom and strength. Listen, friends, when Isaiah says, "Unto me, says the Lord, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess." How does Paul apply that scripture in the New Testament? To Christ. That which is applied to Jehovah in Isaiah 45 is applied to the Lord Jesus Christ in Philippians 2. What have you done with his warning, friends? What have you done with his glorious call? Go back to the scriptures. Go back to the warning. Go back to the testimony. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is life from the dead. There is grace for our sin. There is grace to cleanse us, to wash us. You won't find it in Muhammad. You won't find it in the Quran. It's a dead book. It's a lying book. It's a deceiving book. Only Christ can really help us. Only the Saviour was without sin. Only Christ had power over death. Only Christ shed off death like a cocoon. Only the Saviour is the Lord of death and the Lord of life. There's no one like him. Look, friends, at all the great prophets and teachers of the past. Which one of them has overcome death? For the Lord Jesus Christ said, "I am the resurrection and the life." In Christ there is the light of our darkened and foolish generation. Oh, friends, haven't you listened to God's warning? Haven't you heard the warnings of the prophets? Haven't you heeded the warnings of the apostles? In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the lighthouse. There is the lifeguard. There is the life vest of our foolish and corrupt generation. You know, the prophets say this, they have rejected the word of the Lord. And what wisdom is in them? What wisdom is in them? When we neglect God's warnings, when we neglect God's commands, when we neglect that hedge given to us to protect us, the hedge of marriage, for example, the hedge of protection around the family, the headship of the man, the care with which he sustains government, what awful things happen to our children and our grandchildren. We make them more children of hell than we are ourselves. We were bad enough. Our children are worse. Our grandchildren worse still. When we neglect the fear of God, what a harvest of corruption is reaped in our lives. We need mercy. We need grace. We need the gift of repentance and life. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Oh, friends, what have you done with the scriptures? What have you done with his great grace and kindness? What have you done with the Saviour, the great fulfiller of prophecy, the seal of vision and prophecy found in the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ? In him is life from the dead. In him is a subject well worth preaching about on a cold Wednesday morning. Oh, friends, here is something that will warm the coldest hearts. Here is light that will enshrine the darkest hearts. We see it again and again in our prisoner friends. We see it again in the most depraved and corrupt individuals. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to change and to wash. Friends, why have you neglected your soul? Why have you neglected your God? Why have you neglected your Creator days without number? Would a bride who goes down the aisle neglect her garments? Would a bride who goes down to a wedding wear cut jeans and a t-shirt? Of course not. But our friends, we've neglected our treasure. We've neglected our ornaments. We've neglected the God of gods. We've neglected the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. How foolish, how deadly, how ugly, how unsightly the insult that we paid to God. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Ask him for grace. Ask him for mercy. Ask him for a new heart and a new spirit. You know, the Saviour said to a very religious man, a man who stood head and shoulders above the others, Nicodemus by name, conqueror of the people, the translation in Greek, he said, "You must be born again. No good just being religious. No good just going to church or synagogue or mosque from time to time." Oh, friends, we need to be born again. We need a new heart. The old heart is dead. corrupt, sinful, a slave of sin, a slave of Satan, a slave of the power of darkness, pulled down by the gravity of this evil and corrupt generation. But in Christ there is life and grace and power to wash us and to change us. Dear friends, go back to the cross. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there and there alone is the only power, the only name given under heaven by which we may be saved, by which we can be changed and blessed. What have you done with his name? What have you done with his great kindness? Look at the way the Saviour dealt with the brokenhearted. Look at the way he dealt with Magdalene, friends. What tenderness, what patience, what gentleness. There is none like him. He knows us. He knows our inward frame. He knows our constitution. He knows the sorrows of our hearts. Look at how he groaned and wept. One of the most beautiful verses in the whole of the scriptures. Jesus wept. He knows, friends, the sorrows we've had. He knows the hearts. He knows the corruption and that maze of confusion and iniquity of the human heart. And oh, friends, he alone holds the keys of our real condition. He knows us. He searches us. He weighs us. Haven't you heard the warnings of the scripture? This is what Jeremiah says of the human heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. The Hebrew has the word incurable. And so it is, friends. But in the Saviour, there is power to wash us and to change us and to cleanse us. Oh, friends, how he loves to bless those who come to him. Hear the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said this, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." What do we need when we come back to the Lord? What do we need, friends? Do we need righteousness? Do we need religious devotion? Long years of fasting and pilgrimage? Rubbish! All of it's rubbish. All of it makes us worse. What we need is a sense of our debt. What we need is a sense of our sinfulness. What we need is a sense of the great gap between ourselves and God. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Oh, friends, seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Ask him for grace. Ask him for life. Ask him for mercy. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there and there alone is life from the dead. Grace to wash us. Grace to change us. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, not to a Roman priest, as sinful as ourselves and perhaps worse, but to Christ, the great high priest, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No one, friends, can touch those wounds of the heart except the Lord Jesus Christ. No one, friends, can enlighten that darkness. Not Muhammad, nor any other corrupt prophet. Only Christ has the power to touch that deadness within. In him is life from the dead. The Lord Jesus Christ said of himself, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." Oh, friends, who else could stand in his place? Who else, friends, could stand like him? Mike, I'm sorry, I'm not going to stop. I know you want to talk, but I'm not going to stop.
Well, that's freedom of choice.
It is.
I'm not going to stop either. God bless you.
Yes. Oh, friends, seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is wonderful grace and mercy and power to lift up our dead spirits. What is the preoccupation of your heart? Where are you going in life? Where will you be, friends, after you die? Don't you know how short life is? Like a flower that flourishes and then fades. Like a morning cloud that passes away. Our lives are ephemeral. They turn like the pages of a book. Before we know it, we're grey and old and using crutches. Isn't that true of all of us, friends? We need his grace. We need his gift. We need that eternal word of hope and strength found only in the scriptures. You think the Bible is a book of myths? Go to Jerusalem, friends. Unearth the sands and the earth. Again and again and again you'll find corroboration of the warnings of God. Why do you think Israel has been regathered together as a nation, back in its own heritage, in its own land? There, friends, is the plainest testimony to God's fulfillment of ancient prophecy. In accordance with the descriptions of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Zechariah, and many of the other prophets, his people have been brought back into their own land. In Christ, there is the hope of the nations. in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is the fulfillment of ancient prophecy. In Christ is a warning to our spirits to turn away from sin, to turn away from sex outside of marriage, to turn away from easy divorce. Seek him and turn to him while he may still be found. Oh, friends, what have you done with his warning? What have you done with his grace and his kindness? In the Saviour, there is the one who holds the keys to death and hell. In Christ is the only Lord of death. Who else, friends, could conquer death except one without sin, one without guilt, one without the taint of uncleanness? But our friends, by nature, how stained we are by sin, how far short we fall of his reasonable standards, how lowly, how unclean. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'd like to read to you two words of the Apostle where he describes our state by nature. Here is what he says. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no way. As it is written, there is no one righteous, no, not one. Not one. There is none that understands by nature. There is none that seeks after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. What is your life, friends? What profit does it bring to God? What benefits? What virtue? What strength? What purity? What life is there in you from God? How will he regard your life when it's weighed in the balances? You know, there was a very great king. His name was Belshazzar, grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. Doubted for a while by the archaeologists until records of his name too were dug out of the sands. And in the day of his death, this is what Daniel said to him. The God in whose hands your very life is, you haven't glorified. You haven't remembered. You haven't honored. The one who holds your very breath, your very heart, you haven't glorified. You haven't remembered. Oh, friends, what have you done with his warning? What have you done with his grace? What have you done with his call? Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Ask him for life. Ask him for grace. Ask him, friends, for kindness while he's still near at hand. Off to you. What have you done, friends, with his gracious warning? What have you done with his great kindness and his goodness? He showers upon us blessing. He showers upon us gifts and graces. He showers upon us patience. But oh, friends, there is a limit even to God's patience. There's a limit to life. There's a limit to our accountability. And when we're cut short and brought into his presence, how will you give an account? How will you say, this is what I did with the gifts and the graces I was given? How will you respond, friends, to his challenge? What did you do with my law? What did you do with my requirements? How will you give an account for the life that you've lived if you don't know his grace? Don't know the gift of repentance. Don't know the very meaning of life. Don't know the glory of God. Don't know his plan and his mind. Oh, friends, don't be neglectful. Don't be careless. Don't be foolish when it comes to the great purpose of God. Again, this is what Paul says. There is none that understands, none that seeks after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. Friends, where is the benefit to God from our lives? Where's the fruit? Where's the harvest he seeks of holiness, of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness and self-control? We need his mercy. We need that gift of his Spirit. We need a new heart and a new life. We need that gift of the cross. Oh, friends, in Christ, and in Christ alone, is power to raise us up from the dead. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there and there alone is grace to wash our filthy hearts, to change our corrupt imaginations, to change us into his image. Put off the old man. Put on the new man, created after Christ, in the image of God. What have you done, friends, with his invitation? What have you done with his warning? What have you done with his kindness and his goodness? What have you done with his invitation? In the Saviour is a warning to us, a call and a command to turn away from sin, to turn away from things that are corrupt and unclean.
You're doing a great job, brother. I'm a Christian. What's your name?
Charles.
Charles. Have you ever been stopped by the police or anything like that?
A couple of times, not here, but in London.
I shall pray for you. You're doing
a
great work.
Please take that. I think you find it encouraging.
God bless you. Thank you.
What's your name? Sorry.
David.
David. Yeah. The Lord be with you. Oh, friends, How much we need his grace. How much we need his mercy. How much we need his change. By nature we're corrupt. By nature we're foolish. By nature we're blind. The Saviour says we're like sheep. And oh, friends, that's not how we like to think of ourselves, but it's the ugly reality. So easily taken apart by the wolves of society. So easily ripped apart. So easily led astray. So easily corrupt. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there and there alone is grace and mercy to change us, to wash us. Oh, friends, don't neglect spiritual wisdom. Don't neglect his gift. Don't neglect his kindness. Don't neglect his patience and his goodness. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. In the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is life from the dead. In the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is wisdom and kindness and blessing to change us, to wash us, to transform us. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Do you read English?